Coming right up, Straight Talk with Art Levine. Tonight's guests are Reverend Gary Cummins, St. Luke's Episcopal Church, and Rabbi Abba Perlmutter from the Shul by the Shore.
Opinions expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect the views of Charter Communications nor its sponsors. We recognize our obligation to present opposing points of view by responsible spokespersons. For information, please contact the director of program.
She stands in the face of evil and will not lose hope or faith. America, the land of freedom, is still the home of the brave. So raise the banner.
Straight Talk is brought to you in part by Southern California Edison. For over 100 years, life powered by Edison. And by the Press Telegram. Your local news leader for over 100 years.
Join us for tonight's edition of Straight Talk. And now your host, Art Levine.
Good evening and welcome to Straight Talk. We have two very special guests for the entire show tonight, consistent with the holiday season, Rabbi Abba Perlmutter from the Shul by the Shore and Reverend Gary Cummins, from a rector from St. Luke's Episcopal Church. Gentlemen, Reverend, Rabbi, welcome to our show. We're delighted that you're here. And let's just start, Reverend Gary Cummins. You are the rector of St. Luke's Episcopal Church. Easter is upon us, and for those that are not familiar with the tradition, tell us very briefly what Easter commemorates.
Sure. Easter obviously commemorates the resurrection of Jesus. The story is really a week-long story of the last week of Jesus' life and how he's arrested and crucified, and then the discovery on Sunday, the third day after his crucifixion, is that the tomb is empty, Jesus is alive, that he has not been removed from history, that all that he stands for has not been destroyed, but rather that he continues to be among people and to teach them and to love them and to show them a way to live.
And that is what is celebrated on Easter, the resurrection.
On Easter, we celebrate the resurrection.
And Rabbi, Passover, for those that are not familiar, what does that commemorate?
Passover is the story of the Jewish people when they were enslaved in the ancient land of Egypt under a very cruel king called Pharaoh. And God sent his messenger, Moses, to take the Jewish people out, to save them, to bring them from slavery to redemption. And Passover recognizes that event through a number of miraculous events that took place, plagues, etc., etc. And finally, the Jews were let go out of Egypt, and that's why we have the holiday of Passover.
And, of course, Jews have been celebrating this holiday for thousands of years. And what does it mean more generally about our tradition?
This talks about the Jewish people actually going from a small little group of slaves into freedom, where they become actually a nation, one nation under God, to receive God's word and their commandments that they follow throughout the ages. This story is actually 3,300 years old, and it's commemorated every year by special events and special food that we eat and special prohibitions of food that we don't eat. And it's a time that we think of it as the Jews becoming the nation that we eventually became.
And same question, Reverend, Easter, what does it mean today to those that that follow that tradition?
I think it really has to do with hope, that things that seem to be destroyed, or similarly to the Passover, when it seems as though there's no hope that your life can be different or no hope that the world can be different, that somehow God can act in that in order to bring hope and possibilities when doors seem closed, when tombs seem to be shut, when people seem to be enslaved forever.
And this year, Easter and Passover fall very close to each other.
Well, they usually do, actually. And because in Christian tradition, Jesus is crucified and his resurrection takes place around the time of the Passover. So our calendar actually goes with the Jewish calendar in terms of the Holy Week.
Rabbi, do you think there's some significance to the fact that these two holidays generally fall so close to each other?
I think especially in the United States of America, where we have a wonderful relationship with our Christian friends and neighbors, I think it's very significant because, as the Reverend just said, really what religion brings to the world is this whole idea of hope, salvation, a kind of a relationship with the Almighty. And regardless of whichever stream you come from, whether you're Jewish or Christian or Muslim or even an atheist, you can derive great strength and emotional well-being from these two events.
And springtime is also a time of renewal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why one of the traditions is why God waited for springtime to take the Jewish people out of Egypt. He didn't want them to go into the cold winter or the hot summer, but he was very kind to them. He let them out in the springtime when it's not that hot in the desert. It's, of course, one of those things which is unwritten in the Bible but came along as an oral tradition.
And Gary, I know you're very much involved in the ecumenical tradition. Speak to that and the importance of that in our community and throughout the country.
Well, it's a great opportunity in the United States, religious freedom, that we can. It's an opportunity to learn about other religious faiths, to learn to respect religious faiths. And actually, for Christianity, you can't understand even some of our major feast days unless you understand things about the Jewish faith. Jesus was a Jew. It's impossible to understand those things. And so it's a tremendous opportunity for us to be here together and to, many opportunities for interfaith dialogue around holidays or anything that we have in common.
And you feature some ecumenical programs at your church, do you not?
We do. We've been a part of some multi-faith dialogues talking about different issues. And it's an opportunity in Long Beach, too, because Long Beach has a lot of religious diversity, much more than most cities do.
And Rabbi, you founded Shul by the Shore, which meets in the Seaport Hotel, and you've built it into a very vibrant congregation. Do you also reach out to the non-Jewish community as part of your efforts?
All of our programs absolutely open to anybody. I think people who want to believe and who want to learn and want to grow are always welcome in our congregation, regardless of their religious affiliation. I think all religions have something to say to the world. And even though you might believe in one particular brand or one particular strain, doesn't mean that you can't learn from everybody. And I believe that that's so important in today's day and age when we are kind of fractured here in the United States and everybody's taking a very strong view. I think we need to calm down a little bit and be more open and to have wonderful people like the Reverend around.
And Gary, you mentioned religious freedom in this country. Just speak to that for a moment, the importance of the religious freedom that we enjoy here in America.
Well, it's an opportunity for respect, and I think that's important. And obviously, there are forces in our society that don't want us to respect various religious traditions and see the United States as, you know, primarily a Christian country, or want to emphasize that, and I think that's a grave error. It's an opportunity as Americans to respect people. We do that, we say, regardless of people's religion, or pardon me, people's race, and it also needs to be true of people's faith and lack of faith. We need to respect atheists and agnostics as well.
Let me just mention for the record that our guest, the Reverend Gary Cummins, is a UCLA graduate. We're taping this show before the Final Four. It'll be broadcast after that's over. So congratulations to UCLA for making it however they do in the Final Four.
Thank you.
And we want to invite you to consider attending services at either or both of our guest congregations. We're going to put up that information at the end of the segment now, and we'll be back after these messages.
Strong winds and sunlight. The Earth's heat surfacing as steam. Abundant sources of clean energy to help meet our state's growing need for electricity. Southern California Edison leads the nation in the use of renewable energy, enough to supply more than 2 million homes. And since clean energy is something we believe in, we'll keep working to bring the benefits of nature's power plants directly to you. For over 100 years, life powered by Edison.
When I was a boy growing up in Italy, I had a dream to own my own store.
I came to the United States and I worked hard as a tailor.
Hi, I'm Umberto. I've been in Long Beach since 1960, carrying the finest quality men's clothing.
Hitler's a long way away, but styles are just around the corner. Umberto, 2141 Bellflower, Long Beach.
Does it seem to you like we've got a lot of different looking people coming in here lately?
Yeah, they're coming in for all different reasons.
Ribs so tender, ribs so sweet. Remember the ribs, baby.
Newport Rib Company in Costa Mesa or Naples Rib Company in Long Beach, or log on to ribcompany.com.
It's time to make your career move. With quality training and education from the university of choice, Cal State Long Beach. Achieve personal and professional excellence by enrolling in career-enhancing programs offered through University College and Extension Services. Courses include computer technology, management, leadership, global transportation, accelerated degree programs, and more. Make your career move now. Call today for your free catalog.
The original Renaissance Pleasure Fair, now in L.A. at Santa Fe Dam.
We're back, continuing with this wonderful conversation with Reverend Gary Cummins from St. Luke's Episcopal Church and Rabbi Abba Perlmutter from the Shul by the Shore. We want to talk in this segment about values and ethics and the relationship between those and our religious tradition, Rabbi. And I know that Jewish ethics are so important to the tradition.
Absolutely. Judaism began with the idea, starting from Abraham, the first Jew, that what's most important in the world is ethical monotheism, meaning the responsibility of the human being to be good. There's always an expression in Judaism that went along with, God gave you a soul, that was his present to you. What you do with that soul is your present to God. And I think that really lays the foundation of what we're all about, is becoming what we call a mensch.
Reverend?
Well, and I think in both traditions, theology always precedes ethics. And so there's a very short passage in the New Testament that we love because God first loved us. And so it's that recognition that God loves you and that God loves you completely that frees you up from anxiety, frees you up from guilt, so that you can then share love with other people, so that you can seek justice in your community, acknowledge people's human dignity, seek reconciliation when relationships are broken.
Some say that you can be ethical without a religious belief. Others disagree. Would you speak to that?
I disagree completely. I believe that we need to have some sort of common ideology where we know that there's, without doubt, a certainty to where we have our values and ethics come from, such as the Bible. The greatest proof of this is the Nazis of the previous generation. They were very intelligent, very learned, very sophisticated, became very powerful and felt no compunction about killing innocent people. And that just proved to us that without a really grounding in some theology, values and ethics become very subjective, and we can be kind to one and not kind to the other, and the proof is in the pudding of what happens.
Reverend, do we need this religious rooting for our ethical life?
I think it's very important. I do think it's possible for some individuals that they are very good at loving their neighbor, seeking justice, and they are not religious people. They do not take part in a religious community. I know people who are that way. I respect them deeply. I think it's much more difficult without being consistently immersed in teachings, in a community life. And when you're in a faith community, it's not a utopia. You're bumping up against other people who may be have difficult personalities. You may discover you have a difficult personality. But it's in the living out of that community life, the practice of your faith, the practice of the teachings, that I think helps you to become a more ethical person.
And let's go the other direction. There are people who go to church, synagogue, mosque on a weekly basis, and then go out and lie, cheat, and steal during the week. Speak to that.
and promote mass murder and do all kinds of other things. Some of those Nazis were good churchgoers. So I think that obviously people can go and be in a church or a synagogue week after week, year after year, month and a month, and their hearts can stay hard. So it is not as though somehow there's a magic formula that by being part of a religious community, you always become a good person. If you don't have an open heart and an open mind to that, you can remain a bigot, you can remain a very violent person, you can lack integrity.
And we see that, people who are superficially religious, but then don't act religious.
I've always said, never judge a religion by its adherents. You know,
never judge
a religion by its adherence. You know, the religion has said something to the world. Then when people take that religion or take that message and they bend it and they twist it to their own absolute power base or whatever you want to do, of course it shines very poorly on the religion. But we have to look at the real message of what Judaism and Christianity, we always talk about a Judeo-Christian tradition here in this country, be good to your neighbor, love one another. Those are absolute truths. And those only will come around when we understand that there is someone who we care about and we love constantly watching over us and making sure that we follow these ways. Because the problem is that we are all human beings and we have our idiosyncrasies. And as the Reverend said, there are people with hard hearts. And how do we move around them is by remembering that there's someone who really cares and wants us to be better people.
You were born in Canada. You came to America many years ago. You've practiced on the East Coast and now here in California. Have you seen a growth in the religious movement, a decline? Where are we today in recent historical context?
I could only speak for Judaism and let the Reverend talk about the Christian movement. I think that we see two parallel movements going on right now. One is at the top end of where the more traditional Orthodox movement is growing, where people are beginning to see that there's much more within the traditions that they were taught about. There's more substance to it. There's more people that are coming back and becoming more observant of the rules, the regulations, and the rituals. At the same time, we find that the bottom half is really moving away from tradition. There's much more intermarriage. There's more people leaving religion. There's more people that don't find any relevance in religion. And our job as religious leaders is to bring that relevance to these people itself, to show them that there's something special within Judaism.
Reverend, same question. In your area, is it growing, contracting, staying the same?
Well, our church is growing. Some churches are growing, some are shrinking. I think we live in spiritually chaotic times. And I think that one thing that a religious community offers to people is some kind of rootedness in the middle of that spiritual chaos. People are very isolated from each other. And I think that, again, part of being affiliated with a religious faith is being part of a faith community. And it enables people to find a sense of meaning and a purpose and a belonging in their life.
The media, of which I'm a part, is criticized widely for debasing values, for debasing the culture, and for not supporting these important values. Would you address that?
I think it's a mixed picture. I think that the media, sometimes, clearly, it's a matter of money, and so whatever is going to bring in more profits, the media is going to promote. I think it's really more a matter of ignorance. I think many of the leading people in media are quite ignorant of religion and deal with stereotypes.
Rabbi, what about the media?
I think the media gets too much credit and gets too much blame at the same time. I think that... If we really understand, it's much easier, without any question, to be entertained. I mean, the Reverend, I think, will agree with me that we're kind of in the entertainment business. If you don't come forth to the people and call it rentertainment, religion married with entertainment, it's much easier watching a show on television than listening to a synopsis on scripture.
So it's not an accident that we have music in religious services?
Absolutely not. We have to try to take the best out of media and incorporate it into what we do to get people's attention. Because it's much easier not going to church, not going to synagogue.
Well, I think one of the reasons your congregation has grown so much is that you are an engaging, entertaining figure. Plus a spiritual figure,
sure,
let me quickly add.
You might say fortunate or unfortunate, but we live in a world that you have a tremendous amount of options.
Yeah.
Friday night, we do a service, but you know what's going on Friday night here in Long Beach? Pick up the newspaper, you got Cirque du Soleil, you got television, you got football, you have the arts, you have this, movies. So who wants to listen to a rabbi that's going to be preaching about a story 3,300 years ago? So you got to marry a little bit of bringing a little bit of entertainment into the service. And hopefully...
Reverend, how do you bring him into the house?
I think that people are attracted to a community that's doing something.
Yeah.
And I think that one of our advantages being in downtown Long Beach is that we have, every week there's ministries with the homeless in our neighborhood, there's ministries to some of our Spanish-speaking neighbors, and I think that people want to be attached to a community that's doing something.
And, you know, just very quickly, before we go to break, people are leaving high-paying jobs in corporate America and going to work for nonprofits because they want to do something worthwhile. We'll be back after these messages.
Who are closest to you, from our family to yours. McCarty's Jewelry, since 1932.
The name Diversa defines excellence in precision hair cutting and design. Diversa Salon has been doing business for more than 20 years. For men and women, Diversa provides the total experience in haircuts, skincare, and a variety of services for more than 80 stylists and technicians. Our beauty supply stores feature Diversa brand and a large selection of major products to keep you looking your best. We have 3 convenient locations to serve you, so call now for an appointment. For the total experience, come to Diversa.
Welcome to Golden Security Bank. We are committed to providing commercial real estate loans that meet your specific needs. Golden Security Bank has been a wholesale lender in Southern California more than 20 years, and we've also been the top-ranked bank under $1 billion in assets and are now funding loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million. With our experienced team of loan consultants that have more than 70 years of combined commercial lending expertise, you will get a yes answer fast. Golden Security Bank, we look forward to putting our experience to work for you.
Welcome to Maury's of Naples. Maury's is a unique store specializing in wine, spirits, beers, gift baskets, gourmet foods, and European specialties. Upon entering, you'll encounter a vast selection and a staff that is more than willing to assist you. Take time to look around. You'll be amazed. Wine and beer tasting is held every week. Visit Maury's.com to get the latest information. Maury's of Naples, since 1938, where customer satisfaction is our top priority.
My husband and I both come here. He loves it.
The benefits of physically fit are the personalized training.
We have a very good reputation in the community.
My doctor recommended I come to physically fit.
I would definitely recommend physically fit.
We're Craig and Yvonne Claro.
And we would like to help you reach your fitness goals.
We are back with the Rabbi and the Reverend. And Rabbi, you were a young lad up in Montreal, and at the age of 16 or so, 17, you ventured to Morristown, New Jersey. What brought you to America?
I grew up in Montreal to Holocaust survivors who came to Canada. It was very cold in Montreal growing up. I always wanted to be a hockey player, but never worked out that way.
There aren't a whole lot of Jewish hockey players.
So I wanted to continue my study in Judaism. It was done much more seriously down here in the United States at a place called Rabbinical College of America in a great city of Morristown, New Jersey, and spent 2 years there studying Judaism and eventually was ordained in Brooklyn, New York, where there's a number of Jewish seminaries in there, and then started my career as a rabbi in Boston, Massachusetts.
And then you came out to California
We came to California. It was a lot warmer. I had 5 small children at that time. We picked one up here in California to round it off to 6. And
when you say picked one up,
We had another one here. Our Californian. So
and a Sabra.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I started out working for the Hebrew Academy, which is in Huntington Beach.
Very fine.
And then
in the year
2000, we started this congregation called Shul by the Shore, and we've been having fun ever since.
And the rest, as they say, is history.
That's what they say.
And Reverend, now we mentioned you went to UCLA, right, and majored in history, and then you got you worked on your PhD in
African history.
And then something hit you, and you decided to make a veer to either the right or the left, whichever is the right direction.
I always veer to the left.
What inspired you to become a religious leader?
It was actually a kind of a painful few months. It was a struggle. I think it was the realization I didn't want to be an academic, that I wanted a different kind of life. Nothing wrong with it for lesser people.
Do
like
not edit
like
that
art.
Out.
Yeah,
art.
Leave that in.
Keep that in.
Okay.
For other and for my brothers who were academics, it just wasn't for me. And so into that vacuum actually came this idea, this thought about being a priest. And I really wrestled with it for several months, feeling like I wasn't a good enough person to do that. Finally, someone said to me, if you're going to be good as a religious leader, you have to know you're a human being first. And that was very helpful to me, that you're always a human being, and it's ridiculous to...
You don't have to be perfect to be a priest.
Wait. You can't be perfect, so that was actually one of the things I presented to God one night is, you know, I'm not a good enough person, and God just said, who is?
Good answer.
Good answer, yeah.
Rabbi, you're known for great jokes. Do you have one for our audience?
Oh, you put me on the spot, Art. That's not very fair. But I'll tell the joke I told you before. That was when me and the Reverend, we specialize in our sermons. They're really strong and inspirational. So there was one gentleman that came to hear this rabbi at this particular service. He happened to be a producer of the Nightline of Ted Koppel's show. So he comes at the end of the service. He says, Rabbi, that was a very inspirational, invigorating, resounding sermon. Do you think you can encapsulate that into 2 minutes? So the rabbi had already visions dancing in his head of being on Nightline. He said, certainly. So the producer said, so why didn't you? Okay.
Hey,
all right, do I pass?
Yeah.
Do I pass my audition?
That's good. Let me just mention before we get a closing remark from each of our wonderful guests that our friends over at Green Hills Memorial Park each year have a wonderful Easter sunrise service. They've done it for 58 years, ever since the park opened. On Sunday, April 16th at 6 a.m., gates open at 5:15 in Rancho Palos Verdes. You can go over there. They serve refreshments and coffee, and you can see the sunrise service. So we'll put that bumper up at the end of this segment. And Reverend, as we approach the end of the show and as we approach the holiday season, your final thoughts.
Well, I'm disappointed I didn't get to tell a joke. But other than that, I think you should have changed the joke to be Straight Talk instead of Nightline, and that would have been even better. That would have
Very
been better.
Good. Good.
But again, I think this is for both of our faiths. This is an important time of year, and a time of renewal and remembering who we are and why we are people of faith, where we put our trust, and how we live as a result of putting our trust in God.
Well said, and this thought just occurred to me, Rabbi. Without religion, without music, without the arts, it's just going through the motions.
It would be a very dark world without all of those things. So I urge people at this time of year, regardless of which faith you're at, to look for meaning in your life, to search things that you can do to make the world better. That's really what all religions ask of you, is to wake up every morning with the thankfulness in your heart that God gave you this opportunity to do what? To make an extra buck, to buy a bigger car? No, it's to make this world a better place to live in. Because when God ultimately looks down at the world and he sees we're getting along, it brings him the biggest smile to his face. And when he sees that we have conflict and aggression and war, he's sad and cries. So I think this time of year especially, we need to take that message to heart.
So well said. And that ties into the theme of our show, that each of us can make a difference in our own way. You don't have to be a rabbi. You don't have to be a priest. You don't have to be a talk show host. Everyone can do something.
Absolutely.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for this wonderful show. Happy holidays to all of our friends and viewers, and we'll see you all next week for the next edition of Straight Talk. Good night, everyone.
Straight Talk has been brought to you by Southern California Edison and the Press Telegram. And remember, Straight Talk is viewable worldwide 24/7 at StraightTalkTV.com.